Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com.
Hello, everyone. So you guys heard one of our first commercials that we did for our show, our new show here on Freedomizer Radio. My name is Christy Rose.
And I'm Donald.
And we're here with Mental Acumen. We'll be here every Monday at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time, and that's 4:30 Pacific Time.
We're still in the midst of working out some of the kinks and some of the bugs as we are we're virgins. Yeah, we are pretty much being deflowered today. So we're very happy to be joining all of y'all today.
Right. So bear with us as we try to figure this out along with you.
We forgive, and please forgive us if you catch us stumbling and mumbling and bumbling our way through this. We are learning as we go.
Right. And I mentioned in the show notes that this is our introduction because this is our very first time to be live. We were guests on the Real Patriot show with Proof Negative. That was last week, and so this is our first time to host a show on our own.
Yes, that was a good time. Good time on their show.
It was a way to good step our foot in there for sure and get started. So the way that I heard about Freedomizer was from Proof on Barefoot is Legal, because I follow him on Facebook and promote that lifestyle. And then he invited me several times, and I finally took advantage of it because I am promoting myself more on social media these days. As you heard in my ad there, I have a health coaching practice. I graduated from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in November of 2019. And then due to a car accident, it's kind of put me a little bit behind on things, but we're hanging in there and delivering food. And
yeah, the car accident. Yeah, it was kind of a weird little synchronicity because anyway, a couple of similarities that happened between Christy and myself was, as you know, I was kind of doubling my efforts on, you know, trying to, let me just preface by saying I'm a large person. I'm a large man. No matter what diet and health regimen I was on, I'm always going to be a large individual. I'm around 6'7". And I was, you know, kind of doubling my efforts to try to get my cardio up. And I really am into bike riding. I have a recumbent reclining bike that I ride here in Loveland, Colorado. And I was riding across some railroad tracks and had a bit of a mishap. Long story long was that I dumped on the railroad tracks and cracked my back, blew out a couple of vertebrae in the process. And
that was a little bit over a year ago now.
Yeah. Feather in my cap is that, you know, with the help of Christy and staying, you know, focused on, you know, letting my body heal itself more naturally than getting strung out on the narcos and muscle relaxers and everything that, believe me, that would have been readily thrown at me if I would have, you know, asked for them. Because we've had several run-ins with, you know, with, we'll call it, you know, mainstream allopathic
Western medicine,
whatever you want to, you know, call it there, where you know, I mean, without sounding real derogatory about it, a lot of times they play the part of just drug dealers in lab coats. And I'm very thankful to be back in the saddle again. And I mean, this morning I did a good 5.5 miles on the upright bike. I'm still not I still can't do long miles on the recumbent bike because that tailbone, whenever I fell, I kind of broke my coccyx. And the way I have to sit on the recumbent bike, it's still, you know, it still kind of pricks at those nerves. But
so we've been recovering for a long time, basically. He still worked all of through that. And then after my car wreck in January, then we've been working through that too. And I took a lot of time off at the house. I definitely don't work full time or anything like that, but we're doing what we can during the COVID epidemic too, to try to still put food on the table.
Yeah. The lockdown kind of seemed like a little bit of salt in the wound after you've been, you know, laid up for a long time with some devastating injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the difference between being forced to lay around or lay in bed versus not being able to at all. And yeah, I'm one of these kind of people. After if I ever, you know, have like a cold or a flu bug or something like that, then I start to get that nervous energy built up after, you know, 2 days where I'm just chomping at the bit and I have to get out, I have to do something. Otherwise, I will end up freaking out. I can't. I understand binge watching. You know, this is a new term. Well, it's new to me anyway. You know, binge watching things on Netflix and Hulu. I don't think I could do it more than one day.
No, even if we're really sick, we normally will prefer to read a book or something, look at or listen to our podcast as opposed to watching a lot of TV. Turns our mind off, and just there's not a whole lot out there that we like watching, even on downtime anymore. But to kind of reemphasize how really we're making sure that even our diet is, all of our nutrition is helping toward healing our injuries as well, because he still had inflammation in his back, and I've had inflammation in my hip since our different accidents. And I was grasping at everything, because even being a health coach, and I know a lot about nutrition, sometimes you need that extra accountability. And so I follow the Wellness Way online on Facebook mostly. They're also on Instagram and other social media, because I was seeing one of the chiropractors when she lived in my town versus when she moved. I stopped seeing her, but I still follow her on social media. And I found that organization. And they were promoting a no sugar May challenge. And so I know that sugar creates inflammation, but to know it in your head versus know it in your body and to feel it is a whole different experience. So I asked Donnie to kind of join me along with the ride, because we both have some inflammation in our body, and we can discuss inflammation till the cows come home. But as we're getting a little bit older, because I'm 40 and he's 47, we're realizing that every little ache and muscle problem makes a huge difference. And I don't know, Donnie, you want to talk a little bit about what you've experienced for No Sugar May?
Huh.
Now that we're almost wrapping up, we're in the last week.
Well, let me just kind of, you know, dovetailing off what you said there, you know, it's true, as you know, we headlong into your 40s. You start to notice some physiological changes that start to happen in your body. And, you know, if you're living hard, right, if you're the drinking, smoking, you know, crappy food eating kind of person, I was there. I put up some big numbers back in the day, believe me. And another little caveat was I was a smoker for all of 20 plus years, and I've been without cigarettes for over 5 years. But, you know, like a lot of other junkies will always say, you never really quit. You just kind of hit the pause button and hope you don't go back to starting it back up. A lot of times whenever I'm out and about, because, you know, everywhere in Colorado is a smoke-free environment, and I walk down the street, and, you know, most everybody, as they walk down the street, they say, oh my God, stinks. That person is smoking a cigarette. Oh, not me. I go right up to the person that's smoking and say, hey, man, is it cool if I just stand here next to you for a second while you smoke that cigarette? Because once a smoker, I'm probably always going to be a smoker. I'm glad that I put them down. But, you know, I think once I started getting my lungs rebuilt after smoking for that long, that was kind of what really spurred me into wanting to get on the bike. And, you know, I guess maybe because I've always been such a large guy, a big person. I had this will and this need to want to be lean. I want to be a skinny guy just once before I die. I want to look like a really big, tall guy that's going out for the Tour de France or something like that. I want to have that cyclist lean look to me at least once before I die. Because, you know, like I say, I've done the big thing and getting the sculpted weightlifter body, it's not for me. If I could, you know, we live at the in the foothills more or less of the Rocky Mountains, and if I could be one of those guys that does the road race that takes me across the Continental Divide, that could be my niche.
And visualizing anything, especially when it comes to bodies and how you want it to look, that makes a huge difference in and of itself. Besides that, it gives you a goal. If you can mentally visualize it, it helps you to achieve. I absolutely believe that.
100%. So if you're asking me how I, you know, came into, you know, this type of subject matter, it's a really strange, you know, sordid tale. And I'll just say, you know, back around the turn of this last century, you know, I was having a bit of an identity crisis in that, you know, politically, you know, I always, you know, kind of seen myself as a lefty kind of person, you know, a definitely left-leaning sort of person. And, you know, we were coming out of the Bill Clinton era, and George W. Bush had just been elected, and I saw myself as like directly rebelling against this sort of ideology that the neocons and the people on the right were kind of pushing. And as I started to you know look and search and read, a good friend of mine came at me one day and said, hey man, have you ever heard of Ron Paul? And I said, no, who is this? He said, well, he's a Republican congressman from Texas. And I kind of just shut off right there. I heard enough buzzwords to kind of tune me out. I heard Republican and I heard Texas and I was out. And then this same good friend of mine brought me this book. It was called In the Fed. And I said, okay, sure, I'll give it a spin. And I read Ron Paul's book, In the Fed, and what can I say? It really blew my mind. And I think that it probably opened up a lot of doorways for me. Number one being a false history. Because after I read this book, my first question out was, why did I not know this? This seems like some very pertinent information in this book that the majority of people in America need to know. And I was just like the rest of the herd. I had no idea. And it really started me down this rabbit hole. And, you know, I went through a lot of the atypical conspiracy theorist type of roads that, you know, just that little subject alone kind of, you know, leads you to. I read The Creature from Jekyll Island, and then I started discovering the internet shortly thereafter in the early 2000s. And wait, anybody remember the good old days of Google videos? Right? And I started stumbling onto some very interesting subject matter back in the day on these things called Google Video. And, you know, like I say, it led me on a very interesting path down history. And then that kind of just made a hard right turn right into philosophy. And then once you started down those, you know, paths, it kind of led right into health. And, you know, I remember way back when listening to Bill Maher doing stand-up. Again, I mentioned I was left-leaning. And I remember Bill Maher saying in his Victory at Home stand-up special, he asked the question, is anyone ever going to be able to maybe show some sort of collusion between the food industry and the medical industry? Because it's just a revolving door in this country. And that one kind of really, you know, really punched me right in the nose, because I've told many people in my life that the best way to explain my upbringing as a child is that I come from a long line of well-adjusted 500 pounders. And, you know, I see the path taken in my family, and I know that it's not a really good one. I know that, you know, living that lifestyle, eating that way, consuming crap media is a pretty vicious cycle. And I've heard another podcaster that I listened to explain it as garbage in, garbage out. And if we are living on a steady diet of chemical fast foods and pharma fast foods and pharma foods and Franken foods and consuming mind-numbing crap all the time. Now, I will add the caveat that I do not necessarily want to live in a world, sit around and watch a mindless show from time to time. That's one of my more passive sort of things that I like to do. I will passively read books from time to time, but I almost always passively watch television.
Maybe even more so passive than myself.
I mean, I'll sit and we'll get caught up in a documentary, and I can become actively engaged almost to the point where I feel like I need to be taking notes. But if I'm going to sit down and watch The Walking Dead with Christy, I'm phased out.
Right. We each have our own shows for sure. That some of them where I'm like, wait, we watched that? And he's like, yes, yes. Was I there? Was I asleep? So, yeah, we each have our shows that we prefer. And I guess I'll kind of give an intro before we talk a little bit more about the no sugar. The intro, I think what brought me to health was I've had so many years of, it started out even as a child, abusive parents and an abusive spouse for 20 years. And so I had my children young and I didn't know what I know now, obviously, and thought I knew everything still at the time, but always considered myself as a victim and abused and didn't know how to get over the hump. And then once my kids moved out after all these years, that I started having to take care of myself and decided that starting this year that I was going to be more about self-love and learning to take better care of myself, but that is probably a direct result of deciding that I wanted to attend the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I got inspired to do that via podcast and decided, you know what, I need to take care of myself. My kids are gone. There's no excuse now. For years, we can use different excuses, and having children and needing to be the mom and take care of them is a huge excuse. There's no reason to put off taking care of yourself. There's no reason to put off, you know, making your dreams become a reality. And so I'm in pursuit of some career that kind of fulfills me a lot better. I refuse to go back and just work at a regular job where I'm not feeling appreciated, or I want to give back and teaching people to learn to love themselves and through diet and exercise and all of the primary and secondary foods that I've learned through IIN. As it's kind of making its culmination now, and just to have support systems such as the Wellness Way and the IIN alumni are making positive changes, because it's not too late to go back to school. It's not too late to learn something new. In fact, I'm finding that my life experience is making a huge difference in my studies now, because through Uber, right before my car accident, I signed up to get the take advantage of the Uber benefit, because I was over the 3,000 trips and had the diamond status and everything, and they pay for you to go to Arizona State University online. And so I'm in my summer semester right now. My current class is psychology, and I'm looking to get my second bachelor's, and this will be in health, innovation, and entrepreneurship. So that's how passionate I am about learning about health. And Donnie's right alongside me. We want to be active. We want to live healthy and happy. And again, with the car accident and his accident, even though I'm getting an attorney and going through all the process and waiting to get healed, I did not want the quick Band-Aid fix. So I told the medical doctor, I believe she's an orthopedic surgeon, she was like, okay, what kind of treatment plans do you need? And I said, I don't want the drugs. I don't want to just put a Band-Aid on it. I want to heal my body from the inside. And I know nutrition, mindset, exercise, all of those are going to benefit me. And it's a slow process. And as I'm realizing now, I'm a little bit older, and Donnie can say for the same, we used to, if we would fall off a bike 20 years ago, it would not have near this impact on our life. So one of the steps, the recent steps we've done, is go through the no sugar challenge. So we'll go ahead and take a quick break and listen to a couple of our new ads, because we do want to let you guys listen to them first. And we just created these today, so we will be tweaking these in the future, but here we go.
Do you struggle with your health? Do you have a tough time decoding all the noise out there about health and wellness? We all do. Join us as we learn and grow our way forward in a more positive, autonomous, liberty-minded way. How can we claim personal independence if we don't have autonomy and control over our own bodies and, more importantly, our minds?
From the foods that we eat to the media that we consume, we have a duty as freedom-loving individuals to claim our independence of ourselves. From GMOs to medicines to vaccines, governmental tyranny, or perhaps exchanging a good recipe, no topic is off limits.
Join us here on Freedomizer Radio on Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time for Mental Acumen with Donald and Christy Rose. Hope to see you there.
Hi, join us Mondays broadcasting from the City of Love, Loveland, Colorado, where you'll have some fun with me and all the gang as we're learning from each other while we do our thing.
Wait, is that Bill Cosby? You can't be quoting Bill Cosby.
And why not?
Because you don't want to promote Cosby stuff.
Yeah, I thought we were promoting our show, Mental Acumen.
Yeah, but not with Cosby quotes.
Okay. Anyway, going to have a good time.
Stop. That's enough. Join us Monday evenings at 5:30 Mountain Standard Time here on Freedomizer Radio with Donald and Christy Rose as we discuss health, wellness, and mental health in an ever-changing world.
And welcome back. Maybe we need to check with our team of lawyers if we can actually bag on Cosby. I want to look into that.
We
maybe.
Did acknowledge that we were quoting him. I think that makes a difference too.
I hope so.
Quote people and not mention their name. I think.
If I get a nasty email, I'm going to be really upset now.
Now you're in the media.
Yep, yep.
You tried to not be on Facebook. You tried to not have a cell phone, and here we are on a radio show.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't mention that before. That. Whenever I kind of started down the conspiratorial sort of rabbit hole in the earlier part of the 2000s, from that period, we'll just say up until, 2010, whenever social media was kind of in its infancy, I guess as social media started becoming a thing, it started to kind of, raise some of my hackles on me, and that, I was learning a lot of things about, communication, and I was studying a thing called nonviolent communication at that time, and I don't know if y'all remember, how Facebook was whenever it first came out, but it was a strange thing to be involved in because everybody, and I mean, it seemed like everybody was arguing on Facebook. I mean, that was like the thing to do. Somebody posted up something about just insert topic here, and right behind it would be 30 other people refuting it, posting other links, and it really made me think that this is something that is removing empathy from our society. I mean, we had, you know, the first decade of the 2000s was a really strange time to be alive. You know, right as we started out, there was 9/11, and our society was changing so rapidly. And as we, you know, came into the internet age, and then the social media age came in right behind it, you know, my head was spinning, or better yet, my head was ready to explode. And I saw what it was doing to, you know, my ex-wife at the time. And like I said, it seemed like it was very much removing empathy. And I had a person tell me, could you imagine if the internet forums was an actual place? If you had 5 or 6 people sitting in a room together, sitting around discussing topic A, and people actually sat in a room and talked to each other the way they do on the internet. And I said, no, that it seems like somebody would probably, you know, put a pistol on the table and say, we're going to talk better now, ain't we? But yeah, I got into, health shortly after that because, you know, it seemed like the mind viruses that were being loosed on the internet and in media, you know, be it television or the internet, the mind viruses were just rampant everywhere. And I started to kind of insulate myself from that world. And that kind of made me shy away from social media. And so I kind of started looking into, you know, ways to better myself, and bettering myself mentally and physically. I started listening to a podcast, and the podcaster, he was explaining how he had been suffering, you know, from celiac, and he didn't realize that he had had celiac, and he had went down the vegan route, and because of all the grain he was consuming, it almost killed him. And once he kind of came into contact with this information about being gluten-free and, you know, kind of leaving some of the grains behind, it really started to have a profound effect on him. And I listened to him discussing this topic with Dr. William Davis. He wrote this book called Wheat Belly. And I remember maybe a couple years ago, I turned Christy onto this book. It's a very good read. I would totally recommend it. But just like a lot of other, you know, subjects, I did not have any, I did not have a knowledge base about this sort of thing. And, you know, one thing I have found out is that we are kind of programmed and conditioned to always accept the opinion and or some of the new study findings, factual, you know, stamp blue, make it true type of thinking. And if it comes across, you know, your 5 o'clock news and it says a new study has shown that white bread is awesome and you should eat it every day, you're going to probably have about 10 different people that's going to, you know, recite that same line back to you in the next week or so.
And every month or year or whatever, every week, it seems like there's a different, oh, eggs are good for you, eggs are bad for you, bread's good for you, bread's bad for you.
Broccoli will give you cancer.
Yeah.
Things like this. And so, you know, I decided to, you know, switch my diet, switch my lifestyle, and, you know, gather my own set of data. And my own data came via my own five senses, you know, what I'm seeing in myself, how I'm feeling, how am I changing, and so on. And it was a profound difference in my life. And I started like just melting weight. I'd been, just like a lot of other stereotypical Americans, I was carrying a lot of belly fat, a lot of weight in my butt and thighs and everywhere else, and all that just really started to dissipate and melt away. And you know, I guess I'll just say that I've had a 2.0 version of this, as I'll just go ahead and say that I got roped into the no sugar challenge for this last month of May. Now, I will say that we are entering into our fourth and final week of the no sugar challenge. And I had said earlier, you know, that I was a cigarette smoker for a long time, and I will go on record. this is, you know, going to be recorded for posterity, and I will go on record as saying cutting sugar was, oh my God, it was so much more rugged mentally than I thought it would ever be. It was harder than putting down cigarettes. I was completely dumbfounded because, like I said, you know, for all intents and purposes, you know, measuring how Christy and I eat,
yeah,
against your average American,
they
would probably look at us and say, oh, you guys eat that healthy, hippy-dippy stuff all the time.
Yeah, because when we met, he had already stopped eating gluten, so he wasn't eating gluten on a regular basis. Of course, there's exceptions to every rule. This is no hard and fast set in stone, because on vacation we will eat gluten, however. Mm-hmm. And I was already not really consuming a lot of dairy because I found some health benefits to not consuming dairy. And so then most of our meals, we catered to that after we met, and we stopped the gluten and a lot of the dairy. And it was already, we thought we were eating healthy. And then during this no sugar May, we went to the grocery store, and even the cashier was like, this is not what you guys normally buy. Of course, we go to the same place all the time. And I was like, no, we're not eating sugar. So now she makes sure when Donnie goes alone too, he doesn't get any sugar for this month either. So it's kind of a pact we have going on. But our whole shopping cart looked different. It was difficult to read all the labels. We had a lot of things we didn't realize had sugar.
And, you know, even with what we still had in the cupboard, I remember there was a couple of meals in the past couple of weeks I was putting together, and like seasoning packets, you mm-hmm. know, the spice packets and seasoning packets that, you know, you have, you know, hanging around in the cupboard. I'd pull one of them out, like, you know, like this one, you know, really comes to mind, the organic taco seasoning. You know, I was going to make some like a taco plate, kind of, you know, almost like a reminiscent of a Chipotle or a Qdoba bowl with cauliflower rice. Again, organic taco seasoning, and like number four on the list was sugar. And I remember having another, you know, no sugar fit about that. I was like, damn it, everything got sugar in it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was a short lateral over to the fajita seasoning. Reading that packet, oh yeah, no big surprise here, sugar. And yeah, it has. It's been challenging.
But not to mention just the regular sugar, because this challenge that we were on also excludes all the rice, all the grains, all the corn, all the potatoes, the starchy vegetables. We could only eat like a couple of root vegetables. I think beets was one of them. We couldn't eat very many beans. So we love beans and rice, and we would eat rice and beans all the time, and sushi, and all of those things we've cut out. So it probably has saved us some money. However, the first week or two was kind of torture.
Oh, yeah. If I could set up the challenge a little differently, I would do it incrementally. I would say, all right, week one, cut out all your sugar. Then I'd say week two, Then you cut out all those starches and everything that, that your body converts to sugar. Because I don't know, because, you know, I like just like she said, I love beans, rice. I like a potato. And just as we went cold turkey, mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, I lost it.
But unfortunately, the cold turkey way is the way to get rid of the sugar because, oh, also fruits. We didn't even mention fruits. We didn't eat any fruits either.
Oh, yeah,
and I eat fruit almost every single day. Normally, but fruit has, and all of the things that break down to sugar, I mean, this is the science backs it up and everything. Feel free to fact check me and all of that. But sugar is what makes us fat. Fat is not what makes us fat. That's why the carnivore diets and the paleo and keto diets all help people to lose weight, although those are not all necessarily long-term solutions. And this was definitely for this just this month. I'm not saying that I'm never going to eat sugar again, but I think it started helping me to reanalyze the weight melted off, inches melted off of my stomach. It melted off so fast that even though we see each other every single day, we both were like, wow, you look good in those pants, or wow, that fits you a lot better than last time. We started pulling out some clothes that maybe had gotten a little tight. We both wore jeans a few days, and that's just something we haven't been doing in a while. And we weren't even sitting at the house binging and eating bonbons and gaining the quarantine 15. We were out working a little bit. I mean, me less so than him, but we were getting out of the house still and going for a bicycle ride or going for a walk and this kind of stuff. But the taking out all the sugar and all those starchy things, I already told him, I was like, I can't go back to eating the same way that I was. I'm definitely not that I'm going to still quit sugar, but maybe I can't have potatoes. I mean, women break down things different than men, and he could maybe eat a big old thing of hash browns with his breakfast, whereas I maybe can't because my butt will grow back, and I just don't want that to happen.
Well, a lot of times, you know, we'll say things like, the past is prologue, and you know, there was a time when, you know, sugar was not as readily available. I remember during one of our big snowstorms we had this winter, me and Christy sat down and I asked her if she had ever seen the Little House on the Prairie reboot. And I want to say this was about 2005 that ABC was doing the 5 Little House on the Prairie books that Laura Ingalls Wilder, right? So they were doing their reboot, readaptation, whatever, of those 5 books. And so it was a 5-part series, each one of them like an hour and a half or maybe an hour. And they were really good. And we sat around and was watching those over the, you know, over a couple of days during our big snowstorm. And in one of the episodes, Paul had went to town, you know, do some fur trading or whatever, trying to get a plow and some seed and things like this. And whenever he came back from town to, you know, show all of his goods that he had procured, he had gotten a little bit of material to make some dresses. And he whips out this thing. And because we're in the 21st century and, you know, I'm so warped, it looked like a big chunk of crystal meth. It looked like a big piece of, you know, some ice that somebody would buy on the streets. And he drops it down on the table. And the girls are just, oh, Paul, sugar. And they were just like so thrilled that they broke out like a little thing and, you know, chiseled them off a little piece of the sugar and popped it in their mouth. And Ma says, we'll save it for later. That way I can make a pie. And, you know, yeah, it was a time not too long ago that sugar just wasn't as ubiquitous as it is in our diets. And, you know, that's really a 20th century thing. I will say that during my, you know, formidable years and as a young adult and everything, you know, back in the day as fast food was starting to become a thing, you know, back in the 70s into the 80s, you know, fast food wasn't, you know, it wasn't all fake food. You know, it was still crap. You know, it was still crappy food, but it wasn't fake food. And, you know, somewhere along the road, you know, food started becoming, you know, it's kind of like Darth Vader. You know, Darth Vader underwent his transformation. He's more machine now than man. And
well, scientists have been working on it, and they've perfected it with so many products now that have that exact right amount of sugar and fat and additives with the MSG and the colors and the flavors and things to kind of light our brains up to make us crave more, because it's upsetting and ridiculous. And we see that lots of children, they want to live off like mac and cheese and chicken nuggets, and adults even still. We see plenty of adults that I just want to help some of them, but you're like, come on, you can't live off cheeseburgers alone. We do food deliveries, and so we see lots of the stuff that people are eating, and even the Walmart orders, where I'm like, I try not to be judgy, because it's not good for any of us to judge too much, but it's difficult to be just like, hey, I want to talk to these people and let them know you can't live off soda and ramen noodles.
Right, and that's really important to remember is that, you know, you didn't come, this is a learning process, and if you ever run into somebody that's telling you they got it all figured out, and you know, I would say buyer beware in those situations, because they're probably out to sell you something, and it's probably a big old sack of bunk.
Because that was one of the first things we learned at IIN, and they label it as bioindividuality. And that's why, even though Donnie and I are both restricting sugar, I still think forward. And I told him before, because he does make a lot of our meals, mostly because he likes to cook. But I'll say, you know, that's a little bit big of a portion for me, or I would prefer to have less of this and, you know, different foods or only vegetables or whatever. And he caters to those things, of course, but he reminds me, and we remind each other, that our bodies need different nutrition, and we need to listen to our bodies. And it's taken this long for me to learn how to listen to my body, besides that I always had so many distractions in my mind about raising my kids or going to work. And now that it's like, we work on our own schedule, we sleep when we're tired, we eat when we're hungry, we eat more appropriate portions, it's made it exercise. We get a lot of exercise these days, whether it's I motivate him or he motivates me. It's been more him since my accident, because it was more me after his accident. That's just what happened.
Yeah, I wish sometimes, you know, if we did mention this before, Christy is from Texas. Whereabouts in Texas?
Northeast Texas.
Northeast Texas. And I am from Oklahoma. And the only knock that I will say on Colorado is that for a slow-talking Southern boy like myself, there's no place to swim. You know? I'm a swimmer, always have been, and it doesn't take you too long to figure it out in Colorado. Whenever you go to swim in, and you know, we live in an area here in Loveland, right around this area called Seven Lakes, because there literally is like 7+ lakes around us.
They call them lakes. They're like big ponds. Even Lake Loveland is like a pond compared to the water where we grew up. However,
sure, yeah. I mean, if you're from Texas, yeah, these are big ponds. Yes. But having said that, if you dip your tootsies off in the water around here, it doesn't take you long to realize, oh, this was snow about 2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the water is just so cold here. And I've lived in Colorado for, say, 25 years almost now, and I'll never get used to it. I will not. And I have a daughter, and she was born here. And she was born in Boulder, Colorado. And it must be something you're born into, because she will go rafting, tubing down the rivers, swim in the lake. We went swimming last week, and it just snowed 2 weeks ago. and she just does it like it's no big thing. So it must be something that you're born into, because I just absolutely cannot get used to the freezing cold water in this state. Even if if the revolution come and I got to be a mountain man, I don't think I'll be able to get used to it.
I think that might be more you, though, because you just hate the cold water. You like warm water anyway, but pretty much all kids around here, they don't care. My kids weren't born here, but they grew up here, and they both love playing in the river. They'd stick their little feet in there, and they didn't care if it was December. I've kind of done that a couple of times too. I don't stick my whole body in because it's really cold, because unless it's during, you know, July or August, sometimes if we fall off the paddleboard or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, we are pretty spoiled here in Colorado. That was one of the things that, you know, really just struck me whenever I moved here was all of the open space. You know, mm-hmm. you live in Texas or you live in Oklahoma, you know, it's a lot of agriculture there, which is great. A
lot of private property.
But exactly. You drive down highway anywhere and it's a barbed wire fence, mm-hmm. for as far as you can see. And it really took a lot of getting used to whenever I, you know, moved out here. I'm like, oh, so I can just park my car and just go walking right here?
Mm-hmm.
All right, well,
tons of walking trails or bicycle trails.
Yeah.
There's lots of bicycle trails, even near busy highways. He lived in the city when we met, and there was a really nice bicycle trail. It was right there next to the big major highway, but it was protected, of course, by the concrete walls and the things like this. And it was so we are really encouraged and have no excuses not to be outside exercising. Besides that, we have so many days of sunshine a year, and our weather doesn't get that hot, and it can get kind of chilly in the winter, but we just be mindful and dress appropriate in layers. We have learned layers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of our more favorite things to do is we incorporate our date night in with a little bit of a bike ride and go downtown, and we could either, you know, just kind of play it by ear, like take in a movie to have some dinner or have a couple drinks and then,
yeah, before COVID.
Right.
Everything's starting to open up where we live. It's like half capacity now. And so some of the restaurants are delaying until they get their protocols and things like that. And two, I want to make sure before we wrap it up here in a few minutes that I want to talk a little bit about next week too. So next week we have decided to talk about how we exercise, how we stay active, how we're going to cope this summer, what the restrictions are like, what they're like where we live. So feel free to call in and tell us what kind of restrictions you guys are under. The farmers market, the parks are some of the big topics that we're going to talk about next week and how those are directly affecting us.
Yeah. I was pretty upset. And I remember we talked a little bit about this with Proof and Keegan, mm-hmm. last week about how we had just gotten that email about the farmers market and no samples. That one was a real kick to the crotch.
Right.
Because, I mean, if I can't get my little tomato on a toothpick at the farmer's market, that's a problem.
And that, I almost guarantee half of the time when it comes to like the jellies and jams and the fruits and things like that, the reason we go ahead and go, yeah, I need one of those, is because we've tried it. Because we're like, oh, I don't remember this flavor from last time. Because mm-hmm. there's one called spicy jams, and I thought, I don't want spicy jam. Why would I want peppers in my jelly? And then I tasted it and I was like, oh my goodness, I need some of those. And so then of course we bought one of each flavor. And that's with so many items. I know whenever your sister and brother-in-law were here visiting, they tasted the oils and had to have some oil, but I can't say that I blame them. Everything's delicious at the farmer's market.
Yeah. And the shutting down of the food court now.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember saying this to Proof as well. If you are ever in this part of the world, do yourself a favor and make a trip to the Boulder Farmers Market on a Saturday morning,
mm-hmm.
because the food court is just 30 yards out of bounds. It is so good. And that sucks because that's one of our favorite things. There is these hippies, let's just call them hippie kids because that's what they uh-huh. appear to be, right? There's these hippie kids that sell vegetarian tamales out there, and that's one of our more favorite things to do is walk around with our vegetarian corn and mole tamales
mm-hmm.
at the farmer's market.
Oh, they're so delicious. It's, what is it, like 20 miles almost to go there? And
yeah.
We go to that specific one because of that and because of their greens, their fresh vegetables.
Oh, yeah. Once you had those tamales, it set the hook on you. They see me coming. They're like, all right, fish on. Come on over here, big fella. We got you covered.
Yeah, I've never had anything quite like those before. And I love tamales. I love Mexican food. But the twist at the hippies put on it. With they have chunks of corn in the matzah. They have spinach ones. They have all different flavors. Cashew or pistachio,
yeah.
I think. Oh, those are so good.
Yeah, they have a they have a spicy bean one and a spicy mole one that I kind of always circle back around to.
Mm-hmm. And they're they can smother them in green chili, and they're gluten-free green chili. So we can't really find very often the gluten-free green chili, so we do take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because their tamales are gluten-free as well.
Because, you know, that's one of those things about those open-air, you know, farmer's market is, you know, you have this stand here with some tomatoes and squash and greens and everything. And, you know, you go out to the Boulder Farmer's Market, and there's a guy standing there with a wad of, you know, butter lettuce, and he will literally pull a leaf off and just hand it to you. Go, here, check this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really going to miss that. That's just, it's so upsetting, you know, and the little things of the microgreens, you know, that you go through there and they have like some of those little microgreens all washed and sitting on a little thing. You can pick them up and, ooh, I like the spicy ones here. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we're going to build us a bridge and get over that, I guess.
Yeah, and we'll definitely talk some more on it next week because we visited one of the plant stands, and we'll tell you about that next week.
Because, you know, that is, in my opinion, it's definitely one of the things, you know, if you want to approach it from whatever angle, you know, you want to approach it from a health angle, you want to approach it from a political angle and say, you know, what are some ways that we can, you know, fight this government overreach? How can we, you know, how can we stand up against the New World Order? Well, buzzword for that would be decentralization. And if, you know, more and more community-driven types of entities rise up around you, put your energy behind those things. If you know of a place where you can buy eggs from somebody's house, if you know of a roadside produce stand, if you know of a meat delivery service that will either bring it to your house or you could do the parking lot pickups,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is, you know, decentralization. If you're over your, you know, factory farming, in my experience, a lot of times the market will dictate. You know, I remember not too long ago that we were having these issues with the RBGH in the milk. And this was becoming an issue amongst all the consumers. And, you know, just Joe Q anybody was going to places like Walmart, Sprouts, Walgreens, and anywhere else that you could buy milk, and they would say to the person behind the, you know, the cashier stand and say, does this stuff have the growth hormone in it? Does this have the RBGH in it? I don't want any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, without there being a governmental committee or an oversight board of any kind or any new legislation being crammed down anyone's throat, the market dictated it,
mm-hmm.
and people voted with their dollars and said, we don't want this, we want this. You know, that's should be empowering to everyone, you know, as a consumer.
And I know that's why we're starting to see more organic vegetables and things, even at Walmart, which, you know, Walmart's a huge conglomerate, and they've been selling regular vegetables with all the pesticides and insecticides forever and still making plenty of money. So we would go to, you know, King Super or any of our other choices for Sprouts is another one where we can get more high quality vegetables. And now even Walmart has more organic ones. So, and I highly recommend organic. It's not going to be completely insecticide free and pesticide free and stuff. So first choice, of course, is the farmers markets. But we're seeing a change in our grocery stores and how they're providing the foods for us and more nutritious options and less deceiving on some of the labels, more ingredient information, more calorie information. Even with fast food and other restaurants, we're seeing more information. So some of those things are helping us, especially the ingredients list, because whenever we were talking about earlier with our sauces and our seasoning packets and things, flip that over and read the ingredients list on there. Read what's inside it. Do you really need all of those items, or can you maybe just use some spices you have in the cupboard to recreate the dish, or look at recipes? Because we have every recipe known to man in our pocket. Everybody's cell phone is capable of finding all of the recipes. Anything you just Google, you gluten-free, sugar-free, whatever recipe, and it's right there at your fingertips.
100%. I remember, the name escapes me now. One of the co-founders of Whole Foods, I listened to him one time on Dave Asprey's Bulletproof podcast. And yeah, he said it's so easy these days to get, you know, muddled down in all of the minutia of the dieting fads and fashions and what's in and what's out and everything. And he says, if I could distill it down to this one concept, eat real food.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that really stuck with me. I'm like, yeah, that's good, because I don't want to be, you know, I'm a vegetarian. No, wait.
Right.
I'm a pescatarian. No, wait. And you always have to redefine yourself, you know, as you stumble on to something that's working for you, now it's not working for you.
Right, because our needs change. Our needs throughout the year, our needs throughout our life, our bio-individuality, because that's where that comes in with the IIN stuff too that I learned. We learned over 100 dietary theories, and as a caveat for each and every one, they would say, well, this may not work for everyone. You just need to be aware of it, because people will use that rhetoric whenever they're talking about, oh, I'm on the Mediterranean diet. Oh, I'm a paleo diet person. Oh, I'm a lacto-vegetarian. What does that mean even? So now I understand a lot of those terms, but I know that just putting yourself inside a box is not, because I totally agree with the eat real food and pay more attention and less processed foods. Not that we're never going to eat a burger from any fast food restaurant ever again, because I know that we are. Because again, just like Donnie says, we don't want to live in a world where those things are not available. However, that should not be your sole source of nutrition for any of us, especially as we're getting older. Because even just the not hurting and stuff, because you shouldn't have to hurt as you get a little bit older. You shouldn't have to feel like you're in pain physically or mentally all the time.
So true. And, you know, like I said before about the garbage in and garbage out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and if you are eating things that, you know, promote good gut health,
mm-hmm.
good health to your, you know, body, the mind seems to follow, and then vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed that definitely as and it was a strange sort of thing as, you know, we got really headlong into the No Sugar May. I started having a certain mental acuity as I was, I don't really want to say it was like an elevation of my consciousness, but definitely had sharper focus. And you know, it was strange.
Mm-hmm.
It was strange. As things started tightening up on my body, my mind started tightening up as well, I guess.
Yeah, I think I found some like ease in focusing, because I sometimes have trouble focusing on the TV or the book that I'm reading, and with school, you definitely need to focus. But even just material that I enjoyed, entertainment type material, I couldn't really focus before depending on what I was eating. And I never really thought of that as being connected, but it definitely is.
All right. I just heard the buzzer there, and we're going to have to wrap it up for today. But we want to thank everybody for joining us today on Mental Acumen. And anything you want to say in parting, Miss Christie?
Thanks to Proof for introducing us to the show. We're pretty excited to get started here, and now that we're getting some technical difficulties ironed out. And
thanks, Proof.
We'll see you again next week for sure, same time and same place.
Join us next week. Thanks a lot. Everybody take care, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he said you just...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.